So, you know, today I'm talking about crucified or comfortable. Come to me like little children, he says. Y'all got to get some energy like that. And I give you permission today. If the person next to you starts to doze, just tweak their nose with your finger and it's okay. So yesterday we babysat my 7-month-old niece because my daughter and her husband and my little 3-year-old granddaughter, thank you, went to Disney on Ice. So we meet them in Mexico so they wouldn't have to drive, and they're putting the baby in my car, in the car seat, and yeah, they can do that. And I mean, so I'm talking to my grandson. He goes, Grandpa, would you come with me to see Mickey? I said, man, I can't. But you're going to have a great time. You tell me all about it, right? So they came to the house later, and I was broken by how much he enjoyed being with me. And my wife said to me, that's God with us. That's God with us. Man, I see that little guy beaming at me. You know, he talked, hey, you want to go watch football? I'd do anything for my grandson. If it means watch football, I am willing to make that sacrifice. So we sit on the couch. There's a blanket about that big, and he wants to make sure part of it's on my leg. And after 2 minutes, hey, can we watch Paw Patrol? So we did. So what I'm saying to you today, crucified or comfortable? Do you want to be comfortable in life? Meaning, well, you know, I've been given God this much, but you know what, church? God is challenging us. I said last week, in the year 2025, if I'm going to step on toes, I don't mean I'm going to be mean. I mean I'm going to be real. I'm going to love you enough to say God doesn't want you to hold anything back from him. I'm not going to talk about this today. I know our tithe's been down, so yeah, I got to talk about giving. Not today, though. What am I talking about today? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Church, be still and know that he is God. But I'm in this situation. Be still and know that he is God. And I'm going to talk about crucified and comfortable today. In 2025, the Lord has put the word discipleship on my heart. But the first thing I want to say, to me, it starts with being thankful. We live in a country where you shouldn't be happy. If you have this really cool car, you're going to watch a football game and see something even better. If you've been married I'm glad my wife doesn't watch TV because after like 44 years of marriage, you know, she can be watching some of these young hunks on TV and want to trade somebody in for a newer model. That's what we do. That's why we have pornography. That's why we have all this stuff. Because the devil doesn't want us to be satisfied. But we need to be thankful. 1 Chronicles 16:34, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His faithful love endures. How long? Forever. 1 Thessalonians tells us, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. When I'm in some of the hardest situations in my life, I got to look to God and say, man, what are you teaching me? Because I know he's growing my faith. He's going to show me how faithful he is, and I got to be thankful. Psalm 7:17, I will thank the Lord because he is just. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord most high. Psalm 106:1, praise the Lord God, give thanks to the Lord for he is good, his faithful love endures forever. Be still and know that I am God, I will be exalted among the nations, I will be exalted in the earth. You know, there's no place like home. You know, I love going to Maryland to visit my daughter and her family. We have a good time. We eat a lot of food. We play a lot of Phase 10, and we just hang out. But then it's kind of good to come home. It's good to be home. It's good to just be able to unwind. But today I want to talk about how this works spiritually. How we can discover the comfort and peace of God when we make being close to him a priority. Crucified or comfortable? Do you want to be comfortable? then get crucified and give your whole life to Jesus Christ. Because if you, any iota of my life that I hang on to, I steal what God can do in my life because I'm telling him I want to be in control. So I know the New Year's is coming to a close, and Mel and I have the same plans we've had for years. It's called sleep, wake up at 2 o'clock and say Happy New Year's and keep going. But one of the things I feel like, and I'm not somebody that, oh, the year of 2025 is the year of the cat, for those of you that liked L. Stewart in the 70s. But no, I feel like God's saying it's a year for discipleship. Be still and know that I am God. What we're doing today is we are positioning for God. I'm going to talk to you. How can you position for the Lord? And can I tell you? We need to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Steps to being still with God. You know, like I said, this Sunday, a lot of people tell you it's a throwaway Sunday. I don't believe in throwaway Sundays. I don't believe that when God's people get together, we just burn through this, but we stay and we listen to what God has. But I am mindful of circumstances and surroundings. And my sermon is a third less longer, paper-wise. It may not be, really. But to be still means to slow down. We live in a culture, you want to be godly, then keep busy. Hey, I had 5 night meetings this week. Whoopee. We live in a culture that says the busier you are, the more close you are to God. I think that's false. I think some of the times that I've been really busy for the Lord, spiritually I've been adrift. Because I've been busy doing for God, I forget about God. So we got to be careful. Slow down. By faith, we need to look to the God. There's always one more thing. I meet Wade Smith every Wednesday. Duncan, West Side, 7:30 in the morning. The days I'm late, it's because there's one more thing I had to do. I had to check one more email. I had to do one more thing. So I've learned, you know what? Get ready and leave. There's always one more thing. Can I tell you something? You will always have one more thing. I remember when I worked at 9 Mile, I'm a clerk, I'm working in quality control. And in my in-basket, because what I had to do, the electrical inspectors would inspect everything. They would give me the reports, and I had to go through and make sure they were the way the government wanted them. So each and every report, I had to check and double-check. Then I'd take them over to the vault where they could store them permanently. There were times, and I kid you not, I was 40 hours behind. That I could work 40 hours of overtime in those reports, and I wouldn't catch up. But there's always one more thing to do. There's always one more game to watch. There's always one more conversation to be had. It's like last night, you know, I'm tired. It's been a hard season. I'm going to bed at 8 o'clock. Well then, you know what I found out when you dry clothes? If you take something out to hang on the rack and you forget to push start, it doesn't dry clothes. So I said, well, let me dry them and not just watch 5-10 minutes of this game. Well, you know, an hour and a half later, I come up, I said, okay, there's always one more thing. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Do you feel like God's a million miles away? Who moved? He never does. If you're not close to God, do you have secret sin in your life that you cut yourself some slack on? John the Baptist, ministry of repentance. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. Who's sinners? Who needs to have heart purified and who's double-minded? All of us. Let's be real. But that's why I go to God and say, Lord, you have to show me. Search me, O Lord, as David wrote. We need to pray more. We need to read more. How often am I going to say that? I hope every week. I hope you're never comfortable laying your head on the pillow at night without having read any of God's Word. And like I said, if you have the habit of doing that, I would ask you, please don't eat on the days you don't read the Word. If the spiritual food isn't important to you, please don't make physical food important to you. Now, am I being legalistic? Of course not. Do I read the Bible 365 days a year? No, I do not. You know, I heard John Carter from Syracuse preach once at a leaders' meeting, and he was saying, I don't pray long every day, but there's some days, man, I pray for hours. So we have to make the Bible, we have to make God a priority. When we resist doing that, we wonder why our lives get in turmoil and why we don't have peace. It's because we push God away. Seek him while he may be found. It's relationship over busyness. God is calling us deeper. I was talking to a pastor recently, and he was telling me that when he was a young pastor, he went to church with Mike Cavanaugh from Elam. And Mike was saying to the leadership, you know, break your day into three sections, morning, afternoon, and evening, especially with a younger family. If you have a morning meeting and a night meeting, then make time in the afternoon. I do that. I used to not do that. When I first came back here 15 years ago, I thought it was so cool to have four or five meetings and work a million hours. Then Pete Mayer and I talked, and I realized the same thing. You know what? If I have night meetings, I'm taking time off in the afternoon. I know some of you can't because you have different jobs. But what I'm saying is you have to make room for God. You know, one of the hardest things, seeing some friends of mine that are of different religions, some of the most heartbreaking things I've had to deal with lately is religion. I don't want to do anything out of rote. I don't want to do anything out of, well, this is how it's done. That's why I've shared this a zillion times, but I like the pastor that told me once that he had a home group and he said, hey, what'd you have for dinner? Pizzaville and Coke. Good, get out the leftovers because we're having communion. Would it freak you out if next week we had communion with Coke and pizza? It shouldn't. Because it's not what you take in, it's what it represents. Let's not wait to New Year's. I mean, I know everybody has a zillion resolutions. It's the worst time to go to the gym because you have all these weekend warriors that are now going to lose 100 pounds in 7.5 days, so you got to wait till March for the crowd to die away again. I get it, we all have, and it's good to have resolutions. But ask God today, show me where I need to change. Because I want to say, some of you have been, you've been faithful for decades. This message still applies to you. Oh, I know about being still. I've read that 500 times. Good, be still and know that he is God. He's speaking to you today. Resist being hesitant. You know, it's funny, if you remember about 3 years ago, I did a series on unity, outreach, and change. Some of the biggest opponents I've had of change, when change comes, they've talked to me about it. It makes them uncomfortable. I see change coming for this church, and I'm excited. I don't want the same old, same old. I don't want status quo. I want new things that God's doing. But I know for me to be comfortable, and I get uncomfortable, I need to seek him. You know, we always say, well, I want to get close to God, but what if? What if he asked me to move to Timbuktu? What if he does? Don't you think he's going to give you grace for it? Oh, you can say no. Then your spiritual life will go on the crapper. Then you won't have peace. Yes, I said that word. Forgive me if it offended you. But sometimes our spiritual depths are because of we don't trust God. If we don't walk in faith, faith is uncomfortable. And like I said, when I talk about stepping on toes, what I'm saying is I want to reveal God's truth to you in places where you have to apply it to your life. And please know, I'm preaching to me too. That God is saying, let's get going. You know, I want to see revival. I've been excited. I've been reading different people saying, man, they see revival coming to the country. Wouldn't that be cool to see another Jesus movement like the 70s? See a bunch of hippies in work boots and bare feet and flannel shirts just invade the church? Women that don't shave and breastfeed to their kids at 12? I remember those days. I have been crucified with Christ. Those of you who laugh, you don't remember gospel outreach. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Please understand, I'm not talking about emotions. Can I get real? I've been praying for months, God, give me a spiritual zing. I want to have a spiritual excitement like when I was first saved. It's not there. Is there anything wrong with my faith? No, it's God taking me through a dry season so my faith will grow. When God is patting me on the back and giving me stuff, I have unbelievable faith. But when I hit the wall and things are hard, woo, am I crucified? Oh, I want to be crucified with Jesus. I want whatever he had. God and I have had some real conversations lately. I think he's always been up to it. I've been the one a little hesitant here. And I've held nothing back from him. I don't hang on to this position. I know what God wants for me. I know it's my resignation. But what I'm saying is there's nothing I hold on to. I say, God, this is mine. I say, Lord, what is it you want to New Covenant? I want what you want, God. If God says to me, I want you to be like the lady with the two coins and empty out your bank account and give it all away, I want to be able to do that. But Lord, I know about financial planning, and I know about this, and I know about that, and I know Dave Ramsey, and I know all this. But what if God says, whoa, I'm here, I'm on the throne. What if God says to us, we sold our parsonage? Praise God. The closing is done, so we have some money in the bank. What if God said to New Covenant Community Church, give it all away? You know, one of the things I'm talking about with discipleship is like Servant's Heart, Leighton Smith's ministry. They just put a new flooring in at the school. 2 weeks ago, they had 16 people from four different churches. I don't know if any of them was us. But one of the things the Lord's putting on my heart is, you know, Servant's Heart, Second Chances, Dayson's House, other things. They don't have our name behind it, but it has the King of Kings name behind it. We need to roll up our sleeves and get involved. We need to say, Lord, I'm crucified with Christ. It's amazing, Lord, I'm too busy for that, but yet I can watch the Pittsburgh Steelers on a Sunday afternoon or the Boston Bruins on a Monday night. But Lord, I'm busy. So what God has been saying to me, hey, you want to be still with me? Do you want to be comfortable? Then crucify yourself. And I think I've done a good job of that. And when I say that, I know God's up there laughing. Because then you go, how about here? Be quiet. Well, I've never told God that. But what I do is God shows me, okay, now I'm going to give you grace to go a little bit deeper. And I said, why can't I keep my mouth shut? But God is saying to us, I want to give you steps to being still. It's time to go deeper. The cost of discipleship. One definition I read is Christian discipleship is the process of learning to follow Jesus and become more like him while also making other disciples. The word disciple comes from a Greek word that means to learn. You have to let God move you. Well, I know what God wants me to do. Boom, boom, boom. Hang on. Everything that you do ministry-wise, everything, in the church too. I'm looking at different ministries and I'm saying, do we give them up? Is it time to give them up? But this is what we've always done. Is it time to give it up? God. I don't do traditions. I do God. And sometimes God says, the season is over. Now, what obstacles do we face? Fear. What is it going to cost? Nah, just everything. My relationship with Jesus cost me everything. It cost me a choice of a job. It cost me a choice of where to live. It cost me the choice of how to raise my children. But you know what? God gives me peace when I say yes to Him. When I can somehow, what do they say, a broken clock's right twice a day? When I somehow do something right, man, isn't that a great feeling when you know you did something God wants you to? So fear, what's it going to cost me? Pride. We want to do it our way. We want recognition. We want to be comfortable. We want God on our terms and to live life on our terms. That's not faith. And that's an epidemic in the American church. And I am burdened by the people that I see that keep God at arm's length and their life doesn't change. And they go through the same problems time after time after time after time. I remember this one gentleman that I worked with for years. Went out to coffee, we just hung out all the time. He finally said to me, "You cannot want this more than I do." I had to cut bait. It didn't work out well for him. If your relationship with God isn't what you want it to be, why? Just ask Him why. It might be that you're going through a dry season like I am, but it could be that there's things you're doing that God wants you to let go of. The last thing that gets in the way is priorities. Some things become more important to us than God. How can that be true? Our jobs? What job would you not give up for God? Our family? Now, I'm not saying, as the mistake I made is sometimes putting the church before the family, but I can't put the family before God. God gave us cute little grandbabies, but I'm not going to worship them. They ain't going to get me to Jesus. I got an amazing wife. I was thinking about this week, thanking God. She's part of my testimony. And say, thank you that you blinded her, Lord. And she's still blind. The woman loves me. But I can't put it before God because God gave her to me. Jesus Christ has to come first. I love this verse. I might share it every week. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, Jesus says. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. This has been a busy season. Christmas is busy. Put about 1,000,000 miles on my car. But you know what's sad? People that don't know Jesus Christ. I know Jesus. He's amazing. And I see people that resist Him or Christians that don't give everything to Him. And I said, Lord, how can they miss it? How can they miss it? When life gets busy, I don't sit on my deck anymore because it's cold. I hate the cold. But I just go downstairs and hang out with God. Or if Melody goes to work before me, we have a chair. I turn around. I just stare out into the backwoods. Coffee, because God and coffee go together. And we just hang out. Just like yesterday with my little grandson, he just wanted to be near me, beaming. I just hang out with God. And God, I need your peace. It might be only for 5 or 10 minutes, but we need to open the door and say, Jesus, come in. And our prayer has to be, Lord, what does this mean for me? Now this morning, I'm speaking to me, I'm speaking to the elders, I'm speaking to the whole church, I'm speaking to every one of us. You don't ever outgrow your need for Jesus. Are you going to live a crucified life or a comfortable life? If you choose comfort, you never attain it. But if you choose crucifixion, if you choose giving your life completely to Jesus, there's a comfort that comes from Him you will never get anywhere else. Be still and know. Can I ask, this is something that I'm saying to me and you, will you quit being held captive by your personal doctrine and your opinions? I'm not talking about, yes, the Bible says it, we believe it. What I'm saying is your interpretation and your opinions. One of the best things God did to me was when I left here to go to Copenhagen for 8 years, because they did everything different and I had to change. And I realized, well, they're not going to hell, even though they don't do it the New Covenant way. We have to let go. I love my opinions. You can ask Melody. Why? Because they're right, hello. But I gotta let go of that. Be still and know. Man, there's nothing more beautiful and peaceful than trusting God. How wonderful is our Lord. Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I forgot a slide. Close your eyes. Galatians 2:20. We started with this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself. Be still and know that I am God, the Lord says. Paul understood crucifixion. He gave his life to the Lord. That's why he wrote some amazing letters while he was in prison awaiting death. The enemy could not steal his peace because he was not his own. Being still does require faith. It means that God's not going to move on your timetable. It means that you're going to have to lay things aside and make room for him. We need to draw near. We need to make prayer and the scripture reading important. The amount we resist is the amount we won't receive. If I hold back, then I am blocking God's movement in my life. It's not his fault, it's mine. When I hold back or don't give in, I steal a blessing for myself. Being crucified for the Lord is giving up the right to ourselves. The last thing I wanted to say this morning, if the Son will set you free, you'll be free indeed, John 8 tells us. Lord Jesus, we come before you today. Next time we meet, it's going to be another year. Years don't matter, God. We have eternity. I am never, ever, ever going to be out of your presence, Lord. You're calling us to experience eternity while we are on earth. And I understand fear, Lord. You know how much I fear change. You know how much I want to be in control. But let us draw near to you, O Lord. Let us ask you to search our hearts, to reveal to us any place where we haven't been doing what you've called us to do, where we've been disobedient to the scriptures. And I pray, Lord, even as I close now, that people will listen to your voice, putting your finger on areas of their life that they need to repent from. And by that, I mean they need to seek your forgiveness, and they need to not live that way anymore, but to seek you. Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect in that, but we strive to live how you call us to. When we stumble, we pick ourselves up and move forward in you, O Lord. Today, Lord, let us be still before you. Let us lay everything on the table and say, God, what is it that you want with my life? For I know what I want, Lord. I know what I want with my life. I know what I want with this church, but I have to lay it down before you and say, God, what is your plan? Let us be crucified and experience the supernatural divine peace that Paul had, Lord. Let us resist living a comfortable life if it means stepping back from you. I pray for your peace, Lord. I pray for everybody that's struggling today, for the unspoken prayer requests, Lord Jesus, that I don't know of. Help us, oh God. Help me, oh God, to be still and know that you are God. In your name we pray. Amen. Blessings all.